everyone. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study. If you would, please grab your songbooks and turn to Song 266. Song 266, Honey in the Rock. Starting on the first. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior, who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's smooth? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Amen. Brother Victor, would you open the service out in a word of prayer, please?
Thank you, Father, for blessing us with another church service. I just pray that you bless Pastor Jones and bless the fellowship after the service. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Now, if you would, go backward in your songbooks. There's a handful of pages to 230. Heavenly Sunlight, 230.
Sunlight, all of my journey over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has set out, never forsake me, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
Faith Baptist Church. If you don't have a bulletin and you need one, just raise your hand. We'll have somebody come by and get you one. So we'll go through these announcements here real quick. Weekly church service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. The only time that's consistent with the location is Saturday mornings at 10:30, meeting right here. Let's see here. If you got any questions, 208-391-5323. Back page. This Sunday evening will be in James chapter number 5. We should be able to finish up the book. Don't forget Old Testament Bible Reading Challenge. The charts are still on the entryway table over here, so it's definitely not too late to start. April 2nd, that's coming up pretty quick. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, we're having a soul winning event. So I'm going to have the information, the address, where to meet, and all that stuff for you this Sunday. And again, if you still need a ride or anything to make it easier for you to attend, just let me know. You can fill out the communication card and put it in the box over there, and we will get that from you. Let's see here. Also with that, don't forget there's going to be a dinner at 5 o'clock right over here in the break room for everybody. Yeah, it's not a potluck. We're going to be having food for everyone, so don't forget about that. Let's see here. April 13th will be the Lord's Supper. Pastor Appreciation Weekend is going to be the weekend of the 24th. So that Friday, which is April 22nd, we're going to have the deacon from Verity Baptist Church, Brother Oliver Gonzalez, the OG. He'll be here preaching for us that Friday. And Pastor Thompson from Sure Foundation Baptist Church will be preaching for us on that Sunday, April 24th. Let's see here. We are a family integrated church. So what that means, we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, the dads are going to use the break room from now on, and the moms will still use the mom room. Should be all set up, ready to go. If you have any issues with the monitor, let the tall one back there know, because he will definitely take care of it for you. Let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the bottom line says, human achievement teaches probation, and divine accomplishment teaches salvation. That's from a couple of Sundays ago. So with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, at this time we'll be singing our chorus of the month, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I think Pastor is going to be handing those out, so just raise your hands and he'll grab you one.
Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. Just pray that you bless the service, Lord, and the fellowship afterwards. We thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
at this time, we'll be going through our prayer sheet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request or a praise to put on the list, just remember to write it on a communication card and drop it off in that box on your way out the door. Now, if we would, just please bow our heads and have a word of prayer over these things. Dear Father God, we want to come before you this evening to lift up our prayers and praises to your name. We want to start off by praying for opportunities to preach to unsaved family, friends, and coworkers. And we want to pray for the health and safety of our church families. We want to pray for the spiritual growth and wisdom of our church. We pray that God would continue to meet our church financial needs as we grow in number and space. Pray for the spiritual needs of our communities, that they would desire the sincere word of God and to grow in doctrine. We pray for the safety, health, understanding, and wisdom of our children as they have to grow up in this decaying world. We pray for the like-minded churches to continue to grow and be protected from those that wish us all evil. We pray for the wicked leaders in our local, state, and national governments to be removed. We pray for a continued medical mandate. We pray for help in the continued medical mandates. And we pray for Brother Kevin's dealings with his whole job situation. Lord, we just pray that everything goes smooth with him, Lord, and that you bless him and his family. And we want to pray for the safe and healthy pregnancies and deliveries for our expecting mothers, Miss Melissa and Miss Joanna. And we want to pray for the health of Stan's brother. We also want to pray for Brother Stan that he has safe travels. And we want to pray for Miss Melissa for continued progress with Bella's speech therapy. And she also has an unspoken prayer here, Lord. You know all the details in that matter. And we just pray that you meet your needs in that. And we also have an unspoken prayer for Miss Melissa. You know all the details in that. And we just pray that you meet her needs. And we also want to pray for her parents to have the opportunity to give the gospel to her grandparents. Pray that you soften their hearts and give them boldness to proclaim your word to them. And we want to pray for Miss Patty's family to be open to hearing the gospel as well. And for safe travels for her upcoming trip. And we want to pray for the healing and recovery of anybody in our church family who have been sick. And we just want to pray for an extra hedge of protection around us, all of us, for this upcoming allergy season. And we want to pray for Brother Skulk. He has an unspoken prayer, Lord. We just pray that you meet his needs in that. And we also want to pray that his unsaved family, that their hearts would be opened and softened to receiving the gospel. And we want to pray for the upcoming church soul winning event next weekend. We pray that the people there would have their hearts softened to hearing the gospel. And we also want to pray for Brother James. He has an unspoken prayer for his family. We pray that you be with them and meet their needs in that situation. And we pray for the health and well-being of Brother Joe Maple's family. And we just pray for the issues with his mom's health, Lord. We just pray that you be with her and be with his whole family in this trying time. And we also want to lift up our praises to your name, Lord. We just want to thank you, Father God, for the safe and healthy arrival of Selah. We just thank you for her. And we want to thank you for all our church families and those who've been able to get saved. And we want to thank you for our freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week, and for you keeping us safe during the battles we all fight. And we want to thank you for exposing those who would come into the church to do harm, and for weeding them out. We thank you for that, and we want to thank you also for Brother Jeff's new job. We thank you for him, and we pray that you bless him in his new job and bless his family. And Lord, we also want to thank you for Brother Kevin Jr., Lord, that he's no longer having scoliosis, pinched nerves, or no more seizures, Lord. We just thank you for that, and thank you for him. And we want to thank you for Brother Kevin's new job as well, Lord. We thank you for his whole family and everything they do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Right there in the New Testament with all the T books, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and when you get there, starting in verse number 1, the Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou might by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Brother Cade, will you pray first, please?
All right, amen. So we're in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look down at verse number 8. So Paul's doing some corrective action here regarding the law. You know, they were dealing with the same thing back then that we deal with today, where people are, you know, oh, you know, you're saved by following the law, and you got to have the law without the law, right? And they just want to keep yapping about the law. And he sets the record straight here, and he says in verse number 8, he says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, meaning profitably, okay? Skip down, if you would, for sake of time, and look at verse number 10. It says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, you can leave your place there and go to Psalm chapter 127. Now, there's a word in verse 10 that we're going to focus on for tonight's sermon, and that is men-stealers, okay? Men-stealers. You say, what in the world is that? Well, we would call it kidnapping, okay? And that's the title of the sermon today, is kidnappings. And you say, why in the world would you want to preach a sermon about kidnapping? Well, there are several reasons why. Number one, kidnappings are definitely on the rise, especially in this country, okay? It's something that we need to be aware of, and there's a reason behind that, okay? And it goes beyond just your average guy driving a black van with no windows down the street looking for somebody to abduct, okay? It's actually, and you're going to see this happen here very soon. We've been seeing it for years. You're going to see this branch out into government, okay? Now, if you know anybody who lives overseas, like in Germany or, you know, certain parts of Europe, North Korea, China, kidnappings happen all the time by the government, okay? It's a real thing. It's a real problem, and there's a reason for that. And we're going to talk about what that means and how we as God's children should act regarding the subject. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word kidnapping, okay? That's the term that our country uses, that our law uses. You got to kind of ask yourself, like, why don't they just use man stealing? You know, well, if you've been paying attention to the news, you know they probably don't like the word man, okay? There's a movement out there to get rid of anything that says male and female, you know? In Seattle, when we lived in Washington, there was some bozos trying to pass a law saying you can't say manhole or man cover or, you know, anything like that, or woman's room, men's room. You know, they want to get rid of all that type of stuff. So it would make sense from that aspect. But the reason why is because when you think about it, what group of people, okay, if we group people, adults, teens, children, what group goes missing the most? Man, it's children, right? So they just title it kidnapping, okay? And it's a growing issue. It's a real problem. You know, there was a time where if you were tried and convicted, especially even in this state here, of kidnapping, and I mean, it was a proven fact. You kidnapped to do harm. It wasn't like, oh, you know, there's a husband and wife beef over who's taking the kids, you know, something like that. But it was like you're out there stealing other people's children. They sought the death penalty on you, okay? Now what you're seeing is they're starting to go away from that because they say it's not humane. Right? But keep in mind, those same people that are saying, well, it's not humane, you know, we shouldn't do that, we need to rehabilitate people, those same people would kill everyone in this room right now if they had the opportunity, and you know that that is true, okay? I told this story last week. I think I mentioned that I've had two abduction attempts in my life. From 7th grade was the first one, all the way to 11th grade, right? So there's a big gap there. 7th grade, 11th grade, I had kidnapping attempts on my life. Now, I mentioned the one last week where my friend and I were throwing snowballs at vehicles, you know, and then ducking in the woods real quick, and someone stopped, and this stoppage was different, because usually when people stop, you could tell I'm a pro at this, right? Usually when people stop, there's a rage or an anger on their face, okay? Well, this one individual stopped, and the reason why we knew it was different is because he was, like, salivating. Like, it was just something, like, our senses just knew this wasn't your average person. Like, he didn't care that we threw a snowball, okay? We could just see it on his face, like, he wanted to take us. And then I told you guys that after our parents went to the police, you know, that it was found out that this guy had been convicted, like, 7 or 8 times of child molestation, abduction, okay? And this is in Washington State. And that's when I was in 7th grade. So this was, like, 93, I think, 1993, somewhere in there. I mean, so how much more liberal have the laws become since then? You know, 11th grade, okay, because I was a year behind, I didn't pay attention to school, I got held back. So I was just about 18 when this happened. We were out in the woods again, same spot, no joke, same spot, right? They had a big giant rope swing, so my friend and I were swinging on the rope swing. He's like, I'm going to go down to the road here and just, you know, shake. We'll say, I'm just going to shake my fist at some vehicles, okay? Yeah, we'll just say that. So I'm being innocent, you know, I'm swinging on this rope swing, and he's doing his thing, shaking his fist at vehicles for whatever reason, okay? You know, a couple of people honk at him. All of a sudden, no joke, this black van with no back windows, okay, obviously he's got the windshield and the passenger and the driver's side windows, the black van stops, okay? Back doors open up, and about 5 people jump out, okay? And again, they had I remember this like it was yesterday. Like, this is terrifying, okay? Like, I remember the looks on their face. They weren't mad at what he was doing. Because, see, a lot of people would just, you know, roll down the window, and you're immature, and bleep, you know, whatever. These people, there was just this different look on their faces. Like, they wanted us, and they could just tell. Keep in mind, I'm, like, over 6 feet tall at this time, and so is my friend. You know, we're, like, almost adults. And these people salivating and just charged us, tried to get us. Now, I don't know if anybody in here has ever been, like, extremely terrified, but your body can do some amazing things when you think that your life's about to be over, okay? Like, we ran and ran and ran. I'm talking so fast. Like, I wasn't even tired after 10 minutes. It was like I hadn't even been running. Like, that's how scared I was. I never was out of breath. So I've always remembered that to this day. And so it just got me, you know, thinking, you know, if there's people out there willing to try and capture, to try to steal adults, I mean, of course, in today's day and age where the laws are being cut in half and being thrown out and being reduced, you know, we're all in danger. We're all in trouble, but especially our children. OK, Okay? It starts with the children. You're going to see from the Bible today why this is so important. But also the women. You know, there are people out there that would love nothing more than to steal women and to sell them for their profit and for their gain and so on and so forth. And we need to be on guard, okay? Because you have to understand the government is more than likely not going to have your back. Okay, especially when it comes to the medical kidnappings. That's the real big problem. That's the real threat. I mentioned this incident last week, and we'll get to the verse here in a second, but who heard of baby Cyrus? Baby Cyrus Anderson, 10-month-old baby who was basically medically kidnapped for a week here in Boise. Okay, and what had happened is the baby was having a difficult time digesting certain proteins, okay? So naturally, you know, not being able to keep food down is going to get weak and get nourished. And so the mom brought him in to get some help, right? Well, guess how the news spun that, okay? If you go look this up on KTVB, right, which is ran by a bunch of queers, it says, oh, you know, people were protesting because the doctors kept baby Cyrus, and trying to make him healthy because the baby was malnourished. And it just kept saying that over and over. The baby was malnourished, right? They didn't give you the full back story. Yeah. So you have to understand that the medical community, the government agencies that we have today, and the media, they are all in cahoots with each other, okay? They will not have your back. There used to be a time and a place in this country where people could say, you know what, I'm actually going to go to the news about this. And people would kind of fear because back in the 80s, you know, my dad got away with stuff like that. You know, something didn't go his way. Well, I'm going to call the local news. And people would definitely be afraid. Today, that's not going to help you. It's not going to save you, okay? Because they all work together. But going back to baby Cyrus, you know, the only reason that that baby was released back to his mother is because of the protests. Well, what do you think is going to happen 5-10 years from now? They're going to make it illegal to even protest the medical community, okay? I mean, all you have to do is type in baby Cyrus Anderson and go read the KTVB news article about it, and it will disgust you. It should disgust you because they were just like basically shifting all the blame on that family. Oh, the baby was malnourished, and so the hospital decided to keep him, and everybody was flipping out and throwing a fit and stuff, you know, whatever. Okay, what does the Bible say about our children here, though? Understand? Well, I mean, are they the governments?
No.
Are they the news organizations? Are they the schools? No. Look at what Psalm 127, verse 3 says. We read this last week. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So where do children ultimately come from? They come from God. And who does God give them to? Does he give them to Joe Biden?
No.
Does he give them to Butt Plug or Levine or any of these other faggots that are in government?
No.
Does he give them to the public school system? No. He gives them to the parents. Okay, that is who God gives them to. So we have to understand, and I get it. It's, oh, this is so basic. It is, but when the moment of truth comes and CPS is knocking on your door or the medical community or your doctor's really pushing for you to go through with a procedure, there can be this temptation in your flesh to feel like, man, I really have, like I'm doing something wrong if I say no. I'm doing something wrong if I don't go through with it. Right? That can be there. But it's comforting to realize and to soak into your hearts for us to understand that God gave us our children. He didn't give them to the public school. He didn't give them to the government. He didn't give them to St. Al's or St. Luke's or whatever St. Hospital is out there. They are your children. These kids are ours. They are no one else's. They are our responsibility, and we need to protect them with everything that we have. Look, I've been in that situation before. I've mentioned this before that we went through Hurricane Katrina back in the day. What was it? 2006, something like that. 2005? Yeah, 2005. Somebody will cry. Yeah, 2005. a long time ago. But during that process, you know, Kylan was, I think it was, she was 2 months old, okay? So she's 2 months old. We've got all this stuff going on. I'm in the military. Everything's just chaotic. You know, we had to evacuate. We figured we lost all of our stuff. Jessica lost a whole box of shoes. She's like, I know I'm never going to get these shoes back. And so she's worried about her shoes. And so, you know, that stress affected Kylan's ability to basically eat, okay, because that's what happens. You want to stress mom out. Guess what? It affects milk production and things like that. And so we had to resort to the formula. Well, after the process of time, 5-6 months, Kylan started getting rashes all over herself and started having a difficult time, you know,
gaining weight. And so we brought her to the pediatrician, you know, and he's like, well, we're going to try soy milk. We're going to try soy formula. And about this time, I'm getting sick of this, right? And I'm just starting to read a lot of different things online about nutrition. And I had read about raw goat's milk and what a miracle that can be. And I was like, that sounds a lot better to me than some soy milk. So let's give that a shot. So obviously it was illegal. A lot of you don't know this, but raw milk's illegal in the state of Louisiana. At least it was when I was there. But it wasn't illegal in Mississippi. So we would drive 2.5 hours to Gulfport, Mississippi. We'd go over there, grab some raw goat's milk, drive it back, and basically give it to our kids. I'm not kidding you. After the first day and a half, her skin cleared up. Within a week, she gained like 5 pounds. We brought her back to that pediatrician, and he's like, you guys feeding her straight cream? Would you find like some kind of like super cream at the store or something? Or is this that super fat soy? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I was smart enough to know not to tell him what I was doing, because being in the military, they would definitely, I mean, they own you, they've got you. So you have to be very careful and learn how to play the game. So it's just like, yeah, your stuff's working great, man. She's, look at her, right? She's healthy as can be. He's like, yeah, this is great. So we never went back ever again. Okay, because he was placated, and we were just like, all right, good, we're just going to do that. I mean, Caden started growing like, I mean, he was already growing like crazy, but he started doubling up on the, you know, the sippy cups. And all that to just basically say, you know, I was reading the Bible a lot at that time, and I was like, well, how did people in the Bible survive off of raw milk, but all of a sudden it's horrible and it's bad and it's going to kill you today? Didn't make any sense, right? So I made the decision saying, you know what, these are my kids. I'm going to take their lives into my own hand because they are a gift from God to me, not to anyone else. And you know what? It worked out for the better. They are my kids. I will raise them the way that I want to, which luckily for all of us, it's according to the Bible. So turn to Exodus chapter number 21. Exodus chapter number 21. And so with all of that said, I want to make this statement tonight, and it's this. Abductions are on the rise, but the punishments are unwise. Okay? Abductions are on the rise, but punishments are unwise. Now, I was reading, you know how we have all those law books in the back of the lawyer across the hallway left for us as a great gift. I was looking up the different laws on kidnapping, and it's an older law book. It's from like 2004, and it says in there that, you know, that the death penalty in the state of Idaho can be sought for somebody who's tried and convicted, found guilty of actual kidnapping with, you know, the intent to do harm. But I looked it up again, like the current one today, and there's all these loopholes. Well, the attorney's got to file it during this specific time. And it was just really muddy and unclear. And I was like, yeah, I see what's going on there. They're trying to make it so it's harder and harder to seek the death penalty. Why? Well, because the workers of iniquity run this nation. Okay, we say, oh, but we live in conservative Idaho. Yeah, conservative Idaho is what just kidnapped that little baby. And he's the only one. I mean, he's not the only one. Let's be honest. This happens all the time. Okay, who's ever heard of CPS? Yeah. A lot of everybody in here has heard of CPS, you know. We'll talk about them here in a moment. But laws are constantly being passed to give them more authority than they even really should have. Now, I get it. There are times where people are just straight dirtbags, right? There are some dirtbag people out there, you know, and they don't deserve their children because of the way that they act. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the mom. I'm talking about the dad. I'm talking about the people who are just trying to basically seek some help, seek some advice, and the medical community is like, oh, see, you're a Christian? Well, I'm going to take your child from you. You know, that's a danger. You're teaching them hate speech, right? Because that's where this all ultimately leads, okay? So, with that being said, abductions are on the rise and punishments are unwise. And I was doing some research on, you know, just the different punishments in this country. And I pulled this up. It says, possible life sentence for first-degree kidnapping, but anywhere from a $10,000 fine to a $50,000 fine with 10 years of probation, you know, if it's like second degree. Okay. So you abduct, in the state of California, a child, right, 14 years old. You're 24 years old, okay? That goes to court. Guess what? That's getting tossed out because all that 24-year-old guy has to do is say, oh, well, he consented, and now he's lying because we had a little fight. And the government's going to be like, oh, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Look, that 14-year-old's still a child, okay? That 14-year-old is still a child, still someone else's child. But what's the state of California doing? And I hate to keep picking on them because this is going to come everywhere, okay? It's not like there's only evil people in California. It's just the easiest one to pick on, you know? But, I mean, where do you think all this is going to lead? It's going to lead to this. It's going to lead to the day where a sodomite knocks on your door and says, give me your child now. And you can't say no. I want everybody in here to understand that that is the end goal. That 100% is the end goal. What did it say in Genesis 19 when the sodomites surrounded the house with the two angels and Lot? It said that people came from every quarter, young and old. Who had the authority to go grab those young people to witness such a vile, disgusting act? What do you think their government was like? It's a lot like ours is today. You know, I believe that there are more freak reprobates alive on this planet today than there has been since the days of Noah. Because that's what the Bible says. It says that the end times, the times before Christ comes back, before during the Antichrist reign, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. So what was it that was so disgusting and so sick that made God finally say, you know what, I'm just going to flood this whole thing out and we're starting over? Well, you know what? The sodomites. Okay, that was a huge part of it. And they are the driving force behind a lot of this kidnapping stuff that's going on. Only they went from the 50s of just picking people up at rest stops to now being in high positions in hospitals, in the CPS, in your HOAs, in every political facet that you could possibly imagine. And their goal is to take your children, right? If they can't physically take them, what else are they doing? How else are they men stealing, if you will? How else are they kidnapping? Well, they're trying to kidnap your mind. Yep. Think about that. They're trying to kidnap our minds, right? By saying, you can't read Leviticus chapter number 20. Yep. You can't read Genesis 19. We'll just cancel you off YouTube. We'll just cancel you off this. We'll just get rid of you. We will silence you. Why? Because they want to kidnap the minds and hearts of everybody on this planet. Okay. So you're in Exodus chapter number 21. Let's talk real quickly. We're going to look at two verses here. We're going to look at Exodus 21, then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 24, and then Genesis 14. But when God is in charge of a nation, like he is the head, and then he's got, you know, the judges and the local leadership on earth, when he's actually running a nation, what are his standards regarding kidnapping? Let's take a look at that. Look at Exodus 21, verse number 16. It says this, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Okay? So what is God's standard? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter number 24. When God is in control of a nation, so when Jesus is ruling and reigning on this earth during the millennium, what will be the law regarding kidnapping? Death. That's right. It's death. But you go tell a new evangelical that today, and you know what they're going to say? The Bible doesn't talk about kidnapping. We know that it's wrong, but, you know, it's you know, everybody can repent of that sin. Everybody can repent of that and follow the law and be good to go. Isn't that what they say? And then you bring this up. Well, how would Jesus handle people who try to men steal in the millennium? Say, oh, well, people won't sin anymore in the millennium. I had someone tell me that recently. Well, people don't sin in the millennium. Oh, really? Okay. That's a sermon for another day. But the standard will be the same because that's what we see in the Old Testament. When the Lord is running a nation, there are certain sins, there are certain things that require the death penalty, and you better believe he's going to bring that back. What do you think ruling and reigning with a rod of iron means? Okay, it doesn't say ruling and reigning with biscuits and gravy and soy and just comforters and all this and just coexist, lovey-dovey. No, it's with a rod of iron, meaning hard, black and white. You do this and you're out. You do this and you're done. Very simple. There won't be any muddiness. There won't be a Supreme Court like, well, you know, I think that we could give some grace over here because I think, no, he's not going to have any of that. It's going to be you steal a child, you steal a man, you take someone, you rob them of their life. Then guess what? You're done. You will die, and righteously so. Deuteronomy chapter number 24, look at verse number 7. It says, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. Okay, very clear. Go to Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis chapter number 14. So again, it's very clear, and there's more verses that we could look at. We just don't have time. When God is in control of a nation, the sin of kidnapping or men stealing is punishable by death. That's what it is. That's how it should be today. Our government should put these kidnappers and these men stealers to death. I mean, look, sex trafficking is huge, huge, huge business on this planet. And who do you think's ultimately behind that? And I'm not talking about Satan. Obviously, we all know that. But it's these rich billionaires and these millionaires, the Epsteins, you know, these the Hollywood actors. You know, a lot of these people partake in that. They just haven't gotten caught yet because as of right now, they've got the law on their side. But you know, when we just read that verse there, Deuteronomy 24, verse 7, you don't have to turn back there, but it says, if a man be found guilty of, or if a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him. Think about that, right? What do false prophets do? They make merchandise of God's people, don't they? So guess what? When Jesus comes back and he's ruling and reigning, you know, that rod of iron, guess what? That will be punishable by death. You know, the Bible says that the devil, Satan, will be released for a season. What do you think he's going to go do during that time frame? He's going to go get people to do all the stuff that you see going on today. And guess what? Because Jesus is ruling and reigning with that rod of iron, they will be put to death, okay, 100%. And that just goes to show you, you know, these false prophets should be put to death. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. Well, you know, what's worse? I mean, do you think it's okay to send people to hell? Do you think it's okay to make people twofold more the child of hell than themselves, like Jesus talked about regarding the Pharisees? No. I mean, wake up. Genesis chapter number 14. So we're going to take a look at this passage here, okay? A very, very famous passage in the Bible. We've talked about it, you know, here and there throughout the years, the last 3 years. But just to get you caught up, if you look at verse number 1, it says this, says, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar, and I like to call him Cheddar, but it's probably Keter, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah. And basically, we'll stop right there. What happened is these people saw the weakness of Sodom and Gomorrah and the nations that were kind of around them and like them and said, let's go ahead and put these guys to tribute, right? Now, that should really alarm everybody when you read that. And you say, well, why? Go look at Joe Biden's cabinet. Go look at all these supposed athletes, right, that are trannies, that are beating, you know, these males that are identifying as females and winning swimming competitions, weightlifting competitions in the women's divisions, okay? And the media is like, oh, she's such a brave person. I heard they were trying to nominate that Levine guy to be Woman of the Year, like Time Magazine Woman of the Year, okay? That's the country that we live in, okay? People sometimes will ask, well, where's your American flag? And how come you don't have the American flag? Are you against the country? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't support that. Nobody in here supports that garbage. That's disgusting. But what is ultimately the result of having those types of people in power? Weakness, right? That's exactly what you're seeing here. It's kind of like today. It'd be like today, like if Putin and the Chinese, you know, president and, I don't know, Kadyrov, you know, the Chechen president, you know, somehow got their hands on enough resources to be able to put us under tribute, right? That's kind of the way it seems like it could possibly go, but really, I don't want to get too far off on that. Let's keep reading. Skip down to verse number 10, because there's some kidnapping lessons that we have to learn in here. But anyways, right, I mean, this is where we're headed. This is the state that we are in. This nation is no longer full of mighty men, okay? God is taking that away from us, okay? Special forces are lowering their standards. They're dropping it, and I'm telling you, it's going to get to a point to where we can no longer defend ourselves. That's exactly what happened here. Look, no nation has ever survived the Sodomites, okay? The Canaanites, what happened to them? They got destroyed. The Amalekites, the Amorites, all the Ites, the Perizzites, they were all guilty of all the things that Sodom and Gomorrah were doing, and God destroyed them, okay? God used the nation of Israel to ultimately wipe most of them out. They were supposed to wipe them all out, but they didn't, okay? You fast forward to the time of the kings, okay? When were they always at their weakest? when they allowed the Sodomites to rule and reign, right? And you say, well, why? Well, because the first thing that they always do is attach themselves to the house of the Lord, right? You go read about Asa. You go read about Jehoshaphat. You go read about Josiah. They were constantly having to remove these people from the Lord's house or near the Lord's house, taking them out of the land, okay? That is what they do. They try to come in. They do come in, and they cause harm. They cause damage. They cause destruction, okay? That is what they do. And then you fast forward to the Greeks, right? What was their demise? What was their downfall? Being Sodomites. What about the Romans? Same thing. Oh, you know, you can pick your gender, right? The Romans went through that stuff, okay? What happened? They ultimately got destroyed. It's going to be the same for this nation at some point, okay? So, verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. Genesis 14, look at verse number 10. It says this. It says, and the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and their victuals and went their way. So again, just to further prove my point here, right? You see these kings come against Sodom and Gomorrah and the nations around them. And what do? They basically put them to tribute. Say, basically, you're going to pay us a certain amount of money. Well, like Sodomites do, they rebelled. And they said, you know what? We're not going to pay anymore. And they said, oh, really? And so they went over there and said, now we're going to take you captive. Now we're going to make sure that you pay. And we're going to show you who's boss, okay? Look at verse number 12. So again, our nation's really in the same state. Verse 12, it says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Okay? Say, what's the lesson in that? Well, the lesson in that is very obvious. You want to hang around Sodomites, okay? You will get taken in the crossfire. Okay? Now, a little bit deeper of an application there is when we get too close to the government system, right, and try to rely on them for too much, okay, we will get taken along with them. We give them our authority, okay? Now, look, there are situations where people cannot avoid putting their kids into public school. There is still, I mentioned this last week, there is still wisdom in the Bible. There is still a way to navigate that system. It's not the end of the world. You can defeat that. There are plenty of homeschool kids that, you know, that grow up in churches like this that have problems, right? Look, I'm public school. A lot of us in here went to public school. I'm not endorsing it, you know, if you can help it to homeschool. But what I'm simply trying to convey is that when you look at Lot, the whole reason he got kidnapped is because he just couldn't get away from the lights, the glamour, just wanting to be in that nation. And he got taken. He got kidnapped, okay? So we just need to be on guard and understand that we don't want to give too much credit, too much power, too much authority, too much of our families to these government entities is all I'm trying to say. Now, I'm not saying, oh, don't ever go to the doctor. Look, there's times where you need to go to the doctor, okay? And you go, I don't care what hospital you go to. I don't care what clinic you go to. These types of people are going to be there, okay? Just be on the aware. Just be on the lookout and know what's going on around you. That's what I'm trying to say. Have some discernment. Lot's problem was very simple, okay? He was given a choice on which way he could go. The Bible says in chapter 13, right? It says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And now in chapter 14, he's being taken captive with him, right? So he had a whole nother issue. He just loved that land. He didn't want to leave. Even when he's told by the angels, hey, God's going to destroy this place. We need to go. What does it say? It says that he lingered, right? He's just like, oh, well, I got to get my wallet and my keys. Oh, I forgot my other key. You know, I got to get my pictures. I got to get my baseball cards. Right? He's lingering because he doesn't want to leave. He likes it there. Something about that place he liked. Right? The application there for us is very simple. We need to realize that we are ambassadors. Don't get too attached. Oh, I'm an American, right? America, this and that. Yeah, we need to go destroy all these other nations. We need to go blow Russia up. We need to go blow Iran up, right? I'm being told that like every single day in someone's house. I hope that we invade. Look, I had this woman the other day. This is no joke. You know what she tells me? She says, I wish that Kevin Trudeau would invade the United States of America. I almost lost my job. Somebody must have prayed for me that day because I literally could not speak. It's like I was deaf and dumb for like 5 minutes. I was like, I just could not talk. It's like the Holy Ghost was like, it's not time for you to lose job right now, okay? You need to stop. And I just literally couldn't talk. I went out to the van and I was like, man, I feel like just punching this dashboard. I was upset. And then she's talking about we need to blow Russia up and all this stuff. And I'm looking around the house, you know, while I'm trying to work on this appliance, and there's be kind, support signs. And she's telling me, I've got my booster shot and I'm ready, you know, I'll take every vaccine. And I'm just like, how am I like not able to speak right now? It was insane. But look, I'm being told stuff like that on a daily basis here in conservative Idaho, okay? What is driving that? Well, it's the media. It's the narrative that's out there. And we, as God's people, we need to learn how to navigate in that, okay? Just understand and just be aware of what's going on around you. Let's move on here before I get off on another rabbit trail. Verse 13. And there came one that escaped, or that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. Verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants and born in his own house 318 and pursued them unto Dan. Verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And so, you know, as I'm reading this here, this just kind of brings to light the fact that we ought to be gracious towards those who maybe aren't as zealous as we are, that are still, you know, they're saved, they're our brother, they're our sister, but they're just kind of out there floating along, and they get caught in something like this. We shouldn't be like, oh, told you, I've been telling you for years, and now you finally got taken. Now you're finally kidnapped by whatever's going on. You suck. Right? Abram didn't do that. He knew it was an unwise decision that Lot made. He knew it was a problem, but what does he do? He says, doesn't even matter. I'm going to go rescue him because he is my brother in the Lord. Wasn't his brother, but verse 16. Look at verse 16. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Now, where does Lot go after this? Is he like, man, I learned my lesson. These Sodomites can't defend nothing. I'm out. No, he's like, I'm going back. I've got my stuff. They've got the casinos. They've got everything, right? And I'm joking. They didn't have casinos. At least I don't think they did. But look at verse 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Cheddar Boy, Cheddar Lamer, and of the kings that were with him at the Valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. Now, verse 18. We can see God's response in all of this. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. That is the attitude that every believer needs to have on a daily basis. You need to realize that you are a blessed child of the king, and everything that he has given you is yours, okay? Now, I'm not saying don't pay Caesar what Caesar's, okay? I'm not even going down that road, but I am saying when it comes to your children, okay, I'm just going to say this. I've made up my mind that my kids are mine, and if somebody comes knocking at that door with a badge trying to take them, I'm going down in a blaze of glory. I am going to protect them because God gave them to me, not to CPS, not to the media, not to the Idaho whatever, you know, the hospitals or the CPS, whatever, it doesn't matter. They are my kids, and they will be mine forever because they were a gift from God. They were a reward from the Lord, okay? And that's what I see going on here. You know, Abram does this great act. He goes and rescues Lot, his brother, and God says, hey, that's a righteous thing. Verse 20, and bless the Most High God. So Abram blesses the Most High God, it says, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Look at verse 21. This is the government right here. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Okay? Look, what does the Sodomite king want? The people. That's all he cares about. I want the people. He's like, you could take all the money. I know you got this whole church and God thing going on right here. Okay, you're having a little moment. But I want those people. I gotta have the people. Look, that is the attitude of our government right now. That is the attitude of the public school. Look, the public school, they do think that they own your children. Okay, they do. And you have to realize they don't. They're yours. They're no one else's. Okay, I know what they say the law says and this and that. Oh, if they skip school, we're going to come after you. Hey, those are your kids, man. They are yours, no one else's. Okay, if I don't want to take my children to the doctor, then I don't have to. And I'm not going to. Okay. So you can see this guy here. Just give me the people. Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Okay, so when he's approached by this square, does he back down? Does he act like all these other churches? Like, okay, I'll roll out the red carpet for you, man. Look, just please don't take away my YouTube channel. Just don't take away my livelihood. Is that how Abram was? No. He's like, get out of here, you disgusting freak. Look at him. He's like, look at verse 23. He says, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Look, he knew the truth. Okay, he knew the truth about these people. He obviously knew how they were. And so he's basically like saying, hey, look, I wouldn't even take a shoelace from you if I was that desperate. Okay, he's like, I hate you guys so much that I don't even want it known or rumored that you helped me out in any kind of way, even in the least possible way. I drop a dime and you pick it up. Hey, keep it. I'm out of here, dude. I don't want any association. That was his attitude there. Okay, so that's important for when you get further along in the Bible to Genesis 18. And he's asking the Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Okay, he's not saying, like a lot of people teach, well, that God's saying that some of the sodomites can be saved. He just thinks there might be more saved people there like Lot. That's it, okay? He's clearly demonstrating that he understands how wicked these people are, okay? The question is, for believers, do we understand how wicked our government is? Do we understand how wicked these entities are and their agenda and their goal regarding our children and actually regarding our young women too? They would love nothing more than to take our teens and our young ladies from us. Okay, that they would love to. They try it every single day. If you think about it, you go to the store and you're in the checkout line. What do you see? You see nothing but filth. You see nothing but smut and garbage, okay? Magazines telling young ladies how they should dress, how they should act, how they should talk, and who they should listen to, and who they should worship, right? Who they should idolize, okay? Keep that in mind. Look at verse 24. He says this, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take of their portion. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. So very interesting here, you know, the Sodomite king there, you know, he really is a precursor to CPS. If you think about it, you type in CPS and you look up at how many people that they've snatched, you know what it says? Type into Google, like, how many people did CPS snatch? You know, it comes up a positive thing. It says CPS checked up on 3.5 million children this year. Yeah, so that's what you call it. You call kidnapping checking up on. Okay, no, that's wrong. Okay, that is an organization of men stealers. That is what it is. I got a little thing that I took down from their website here. No, actually, this was from a lawyer's website. It was like, have you been threatened by CPS? It was like, here is possibly why. It says this: Child Protective Services can take your child from home if the agency has a court order, obviously, and says also if a CPS caseworker believes that an emergency situation exists to warrant an emergency removal. And then it gives these following subsequent reasons that they may believe that your child's in danger. It says this: you pose an immediate threat to the child. Okay. Well, I can show you your church inbox, and there's a lot of people that think that we are posing threats and dangers to our children based off of teaching the Bible. Okay, so you got to realize that's coming, okay? I mean, the next one, the child, if they believe that the child would not be safe if they remained in your home. Key word there is if they believe.
Yeah.
Okay, if they believe. Hey, Pastor Anderson's had the CPS after him, right? Because some fool decided to call. So, oh, they pick up the phone. Fundamentalist? Oh, extremist terror? Oh, yeah, we'll be right there.
Yeah.
Okay, we got you. We'll take your word for it, okay? That's how this thing's going, okay? Says this, or the child's in imminent danger. And again, there are situations, plenty of them, okay, because there's a lot of dirtbags out there where they are harming the children, and that does need to be dealt with, okay? But the problem is that the laws and the statutes that are out there today and that are being pushed and sold to the public are giving way too much power to these organizations like CPS, like St. Al's, like the pediatricians, like all these medical places that we have going on today. Says this, not providing a child with clothing, with food. Now, obviously, those are some real issues there. But when's it going to be, well, you didn't take me to Abercrombie and Fitch? right? Oh, you don't want to take me to the mall? Okay, well, I got an important event coming up, and I need that dress. I need those pants. I need this. I need those shoes. I need those Reebok pumps, and I need them right now. Okay, when's that day going to come? You think I'm crazy? Well, guess what? It's going to come. It's going to get to the point where they'll be like, hey, do you feel like you have been mistreated? Right? Every place that we work, every job that you go to practically has a statement like that. Do you feel like you have been mistreated? I got something in the mail the other day from the VA. Do you feel like you've been mistreated or harassed in any way, or if anyone's been unkind to you? It's like your whole organization's unkind. I've been asking you guys for a year now to take this guy and help me out. You know, and you won't do it. But anyways, here's the last one. Back on track here. It says this, not taking a child to a hospital to get necessary medical care. Okay, that's where I'm going with all of this. Wednesday's Rabbit Trail Day, just in case you didn't know, okay? That's where I'm going with all of this, okay? So if they believe that you should have whatever treatment, okay, then, and you don't want to subscribe to that, like my whole raw milk story with Kylan, okay, they can say you're denying medical treatment, which is always good. Doctors are gods. They can never be wrong. So therefore, we're going to snatch your children from you, okay? That is wrong. That is unbiblical. The people that took baby Cyrus Anderson from their parents should be put to death. Amen. Okay? And I heard that the pediatrician that called regretted it, whatever. I don't know the full story. But you know what? They kept that child for a week. 10 months old. Okay? What kind of psychological damage do you think that's going to have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is bad stuff. But these are the times that we're living in. So, last passage we're going to look at here, 1 Kings chapter number 3. So this is after Solomon has been given wisdom by God. He actually kind of gets a test, and he gets these two prostitutes, okay, that come to him with an issue. And we're going to read this, okay? We're going to read this, and as we're going through this, keep in mind the attitude that the king, who is actually the wisest person to ever walk the earth, obviously besides Christ, keep an eye on his attitude and how he views the children in regards to their relationship to their parent, okay? So look at verse number 16. We're getting close to being done. Verse 16 says this. It says, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Okay, harlots there, that's another word for being a prostitute. Verse 17 says, and the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Okay, so stop right there. What would our government possibly say today? Oh, you don't have adequate housing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't go to the hospital to have your child? Mm-hmm. And look, sometimes that's necessary. I'm not knocking out or whatever. I'm just simply saying, does Solomon stop him right there and say, I'm snatching the kid that's alive. I'm taking him right now. No, he doesn't do that. Interesting. Look at verse 18. It says this, and it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Verse 19, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Now look, there's a whole lot of stuff going on here. They don't have adequate housing. They don't have adequate sleeping arrangements. Their profession would require them to be gone and you know, in horrible places. Okay, does Solomon at this point cut him off and say, hey, I'm taking the child? Does he call CPS? Did the nation of Israel have CPS? No, what did they have? They had God's law. They had Exodus 21. They had Deuteronomy 24. Look at verse 20. It says, and she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. Verse 21, when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. Verse 22, the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So now a case could be made. Well, you guys are both mentally unstable. Kid's mine. Is that what Solomon does, though? No, look at verse 23. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. and they brought a sword before the king. And this is where you get to really see this great wisdom that he displays, which goes on record and gets told before everyone in the nation after this. But look at verse 26. It says, "Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Okay. Obviously, a very wise thing to do there. That's awesome. I wish we could just park it right there, but we don't have time. Look at verse 27. "Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." You see that? He doesn't say, hey, doesn't matter. I was just messing around. I'm taking it. Give me the persons. I need the people. I need this child. I'll go find a mom better than you. Is that what he says? It's not what he says. Says, look, I understand you're a harlot, but that child belongs to you. Would our government do that? Would CPS do that? Probably not. Look at verse 28. "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." So understand, when the wisdom of God is in a leader, you know what that leader understands? That leader understands that children belong to their parents. Not every situation is ideal, you know? Obviously, this is not the ideal situation because we don't know what happened, but, you know, she's obviously doesn't have a husband, and back in those times, you had to earn your money somehow, and she resorted to that. And I don't think Solomon was thinking like, well, I think you're just going to go work at the nearest bakery, or you're going to go get a job, you know, doing taxes or become a nurse, okay? He doesn't seem to get involved in any of that. He just identifies who the mother was and says, you know what? You're the mother. Give her the child. End of story. Okay? That's how it should be. But that's how it is not. Okay? It's not like that today in 2022 in the United States of America. And I want to leave you with this thought here. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 19, and we'll be done. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." The Bible promises that someday God is going to repay all of these wicked, evil people that are out there that are trying to kidnap. And I really want to mention this again. You know, abductions are on the rise and the punishments are unwise. And you say, why should I remember that? What does that even mean? Well, here's what it means. You need to be careful out there. Okay, you need to be careful at who you trust your children's care with. Okay, that's what I'm saying. You know, this baby Cyrus who was taken from his mother and from his father. You know what? That organization, that pediatrician that she went to is like highly regarded amongst all these like conservative ivermectin munchers. You know, and look, I'm not against ivermectin, whatever. Okay, but this is like one of those ones that's on the conservative Facebook page, and everybody's like, you got to go there because they're all about freedom and this and that. And what did that lead to? Led to CPS, it led to an abduction. It led to Garden City PD saying, oh yeah, we'll go ahead and snatch this kid. Yeah. Okay, look, we shouldn't let these things stand, but I want to make it clear, I'm not advocating that we go out there and just start this vigilante program, but I will be honest with you, my kids are mine. My children are mine. You do whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you how to raise your families. My children are mine. And when somebody says, hey, you bring them here to this appointment, only if I feel like it. If I feel like it's necessary, I will. Anything more than that, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a big problem because they're mine, not yours, not anyone else's. And hopefully you understand that. Our children are a gift. They are a reward from the God of heaven and earth. And he gives children to their parents. Okay? And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. Don't ever let anybody bully you around. You know, it's kind of funny. Oh, we need to stop bullying. We need to stop bullying. You know, I was working on this refrigerator, and these people had this big old sign from the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, stop bullying and stop hate. Report hate. I was like, if you only knew who was in your house right now, boy, things would get interesting real quick, you know? But anyways, I got to be done. Hopefully that was clear. The main point of this is for us to realize and to accept the fact that our children are ours. They're no one else's, okay? I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, don't go to the school, don't do whatever. Just understand they are yours, and you are in charge of them. You raise them. hopefully according to God's law and God's word. But the point is, they're yours. They are not anyone else's. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the wisdom that is in your word. I just pray that you would help us to be aware of all the situations that are popping up, Lord, that are seemingly official, that could put us in danger and risk kidnapping of our children, Lord, of our families. And we just pray that you would keep us safe and protect us and help keep us strong and bless the soul winning and everything else that we have going on this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, please grab your songbooks one more time this evening and turn to song 130. Yesterday, today, forever. Yesterday, today, forever. On the first. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still, he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who pardoned every Peter never needs thou fear. He that came to faithless Thomas, all thy doubt will disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love as tender lean upon his breast. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Close the service in a word of prayer, please.
Yep. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the sermon that Pastor has preached. Just pray that you just send these wicked people that want to do harm to, you know, the little children, that want to kidnap them to hell. Just pray that you just keep us safe during these times. Bless the fellowship, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.